Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue our studies in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we're drawing near to the end of that sermon, and we come this evening to verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 7. And in a way, we're coming to the applications of this sermon, still continuing a theme of judgment in this last portion, but it's somewhat of the application of an exhortation. What do you do with all that we have heard? And so pay attention as we read the words of Jesus, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Let's pray and ask that tonight this room would be completely filled, 100%, with those who have found that narrow way and walk therein. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we grieve when we think of the multitudes that surround us who are clamoring, crawling over each other, as it were, to go on that broad way to destruction. Oblivious to the fact that there's a narrow way that leads to life. And even if they ever hear of it, neglectful of it, scornful of it, we ask that tonight you would cause that way to be so glorious, so much of a relief, so much of a delight, even if it is narrow, even if it is constricted, it's the way of life. And we desire that of all who hear my voice this evening, each one would be in that narrow way and attain unto life. We ask through Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Now this morning we heard of the condition of our dear sister Ruth Denzel, a busy beaver of a Christian woman, so engaged in this church in the labor of serving her Lord and Master, whom she delighted to serve in the Helping Hands ministry and in so many other ways, and yet now laid low with this mass discovered on her pancreas in the hospital. But this is a reminder to each of us. Our days are numbered. That's what Moses, the man of God, prayed in Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Be wise, dear ones. Be wise and remember there's a number. We don't know the number, but God does. And when we say teach us to number our days, we're not saying tell us the number, because he's not going to do that. But he's saying teach us to remember. The number is finite. And it comes to an end. And what then? And it's only those, you see, who are on the narrow way that Jesus speaks of here who are going to have life. And those who are on the broad way have destruction. Not annihilation, but destruction. Now, preachers don't always put their cards out on the table and tell you what they're after. But I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to tell you right up front what I want to have happen with you. I want each of you, as I've said in my prayer and earlier, I want each of you to be found in the narrow way. And if that scares you and you say, I'm going to shut down right off, I don't want to hear this, please. You want to be in the way of destruction? It's for your good. So what I have to say tonight is in your best interest. Young and old, whether you've attended years since you were born, or whether this is your first time in this place, this is in your best interest. So don't shut down. Don't turn me off. But hear me out. Because I earnestly, honestly want to see you in that day there with those who are with the Lord in the way of life. And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at this passage. And as you look at it, somewhat expanding on the outline that William Hendrickson, the commentator uses, we have in this passage, first of all, two gates, pretty obvious. And then there are two ways. And then there are two groups of people who are pursuing these two different gates and ways. And then lastly, there are two destinations. Two different destinations. And so these two things are contrasted for us in the words of our Lord Jesus. And we're going to take each of these up one at a time. First of all, the two gates. Two gates. And again, as an application of this whole sermon, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. That's a command. It's in the form of an imperative. He's not saying, well, you know, it'd be nice if you did. He's saying, do it. Enter into the narrow gate. And then he goes on to say, for the gate is wide. And he describes a narrow gate and a wide gate. So let's look at these first of all. The wide gate. Now, the wide gate is the very popular gate with the masses. It can accommodate a whole horde. This gate is so broad that, you know, the whole of society can fit in it with all of the diversity in society. You know, there are a whole host of ways, individual ways, that fit into this broad road, this broad gate. It's quite appealing to the flesh. Now, I look at various news sites on my computer. I don't read a newspaper, but one of these, and they all have advertising, and it's not necessarily right up front that it's an ad. It's, you know, it's stuff you kind of appeals to you and you want to click it. It's called clickbait. Well, one of these news websites has this little thing that says it's advertising a computer game. And it says, you can do anything you want in this game. Ooh, that sounds good. You see, in a way, that's the sign that would be put over this broad gate. You can do anything you want in this gate. You have it your way. If this is what you like, oh yeah, we can fit you in here. Oh, if you're a Pharisee and you want to be very strict and very legalistic in your religion, we'll fit you in here. You want to be a libertarian and you want to say anything goes and I want to give way to my flesh? Oh, we can fit you in here. You see, it's such a broad gate. Any kind of people, antinomians, libertines, liberals, conservatives, philosophers, those who don't care about philosophy, who never think a thing in their lives, they can all fit. This is the gate for the masses. It's a broad gate. And the thing is, you know, you don't even have to try to enter this gate. Jesus says, enter the narrow gate. And in fact, in Luke 13, different context, different passage, different sermon, Jesus says, in fact, when somebody says, are there few that are being saved? Jesus says, strive to enter the narrow gate. Strive. Work on it. Make sure of it. But the broad gate, you don't have to lift a finger. Because as a matter of fact, you're born in the broad gate. You're already there. You don't have to work at it at all. Romans chapter 8, and this is some while ahead in our study in the book of Romans, but it's a text that describes those in the broad gate. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Let me read, turn there if you will. Romans 8, 5 through 8. It says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, destruction. There's the destination that we'll see. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is the broad gate. You're born in it. You're born in the flesh. By nature, this is where you are. And so it's the gate for the masses. Broad. Anything fits in here. And you can bring with you all your sin. You can bring with you all your baggage. It'll go. Whoever you are, whatever you like, whatever your particular way, it'll fit in the broad gate. But then there's a narrow gate. And this is the one that Jesus commands his listeners. That includes you this evening. Commands you to enter. Enter by the narrow gate. And this gate is so narrow, some commentators compare it to a turnstile. You know what a turnstile is? It's that narrow thing where it has this little revolving three-pronged gate that only one person can go in at a time. See, the broad gate, you can bring all your gang in at the same time. Now, and they'll fit, and you can have a jolly time for a little while in the broad gate. But the narrow gate, you see, you enter one by one. As much as we parents would love to get our kids and bring them in along with us, they have to come on their own. Kids, your parents can't save you. You've got to come in the gate too. And that's why Jesus is saying even to you kids, enter. You kids, listen. Enter by the narrow gate. You have to do it for yourself. It's a turnstile. Enter by the narrow gate. And this gate is narrow. Well, what's the gate? You know, Jesus himself tells us in John chapter 10. Let me turn you there. I know sometimes preachers say, you don't have to look at this. I'm going to read it. And I always look myself. So if you want to look, I'm going to read it anyway, but I would welcome you to turn there. John chapter 10. This is what Jesus says, different context, different setting, but it in a sense answers the question, enter the narrow gate. Where is it? What is it? Well, he tells us here in this context, speaking of sheep and a shepherd, he says in John chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, 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 I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. The door to life, this narrow gate, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, it all depends on him. We heard that this morning, didn't we? If you were here this morning, you saw that great contrast between the way of every other religion, the broad way, if you will. And that broad way, if you're a religious person in that broad way, it says, okay, be good. Now, I don't know if this was something that rattled around up north, but when I was a kid, I remember hearing this little rhyme, hello, everybody, I'm Harry Cemetery. If you're good, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. Now, I don't know if that rattled around up north here. People are shaking their heads. No, it rattled around down in New Orleans. But that's the religion of the majority. If you're good, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. That's not the gospel. Because Jesus said, there is none good but God alone. All your good deeds, Isaiah says, are filthy rags in the sight of God. No, there's only one door. And that's Jesus. Jesus said in the verse that we sang, actually, in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by or through me. Jesus is the only way. It's his righteousness, not my righteousness. It's his dying, not my dying. It's his suffering, not my suffering. It's his paying the penalty for sin, not my paying. Or if I paid the penalty, it's hell. It's either Jesus or hell. I am the door of the sheep. Now, how do you enter this door? Well, we heard it this morning. Isn't it interesting how God weaves together these different truths of his word? We heard this morning from Romans chapter 4 that it is not by works, but by faith. And so how do we enter? We enter by trusting Jesus. We enter not by looking to ourselves and what we do, but we enter by looking to Jesus and what he did. And our confidence is not in our flesh, not in our doing, not in our dying. Our confidence is all in Christ. We enter this narrow door by putting our trust 100% in Jesus. Now, you know, some people think, well, okay, I understand that. It's not enough. Some people say, well, I agree with that. That's not enough. Faith, you see, means trust. It means you cast your soul, all the weight of your sin, all the weight of who you are, everything, your future, you cast it all on Jesus. That's faith. But you see, it's not just faith. You enter by repentance. Because, you see, when Jesus says, enter the narrow gate, there's something that you have to turn away from. You can't enter the narrow gate and the broad gate at the same time. If you're going to enter the narrow gate, you have to turn away from the broad gate. And turning away from the broad gate means you turn away from your own sin. You turn away from your own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone turned everyone to his own way. You have to turn away from your own way. That's the broad way, the broad gate. You have to turn from your sin. That's what the Bible calls, in a Bible word, good word, repentance. Turn from sin. Turn to Jesus. One said it's a low gate. Everyone who enters this gate has to bow low. That is, be humbled. Not going in your pride, look what I did, I entered the narrow gate. That doesn't work that way. Humbling yourself, turning from sin, acknowledging your sin. Acknowledge in this coming to the narrow gate that you deserve destruction. You deserve damnation. You deserve hell. And if you're saved, you're a debtor to mercy alone. And you'll sing to the praise of that covenant mercy and grace. And so that's what Jesus says. Enter the narrow gate. There are two gates. There's a broad gate. It's so broad, the whole gang will fit. But there's that narrow gate. Coming to Jesus. Trusting in him. Turning from your sin. And Jesus says, enter that gate. I am that gate. Come to me. But then there are two ways. Going back to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, he says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow. You see, there's a gate and there's a way. And some commentators debate, well, which comes first, the gate or the way? Well, it's pretty obvious to me. I don't even think we have to debate that. There's a gate, and the gate opens into the way. And so you start out at the gate, you enter the gate, but then you continue in the way. And see, this broad gate, let's take that up first. The broad gate opens into a broad way. And, you know, again, you can go many different ways. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So this broad gate, there are many, many different ways that you can go. You can pick and choose which way you like in this broad way. It accommodates fornicators, liars, idolaters, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, lovers of self, boastful, arrogant, irreconcilable, bitter, hateful, envious, religious, proud, self-righteous. Like the Pharisee, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. He's there in the broad way. Because he went down to his house unjustified, condemned. There are many in this way who think, okay, maybe I'm not perfect, but I surely don't deserve hell. I'm not as bad as those people. They're there in the broad way too. When Jesus preached towards the end of his ministry, Matthew 25, another longish sermon of Jesus, Matthew 24, 25, at the end of this, he tells the parable of the great white throne, not parable, illustration, picture. He gives the picture of the great white throne. And on that day, he says, the sheep come and the goats are there. He puts the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the sheep are his people and the goats are not. And he says to the sheep, enter the joy of your master. When I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was sick, you came to me and visited me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they say to him, now get this, Jesus, you got the wrong guy. When do we ever do that? We're not as good as you think we are. And Jesus says, inasmuch as you did it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it to me. They don't even, they're humbled. They're not boasting. They don't think they deserve it. But they're changed by grace. And that grace comes out in the love of the brethren. You did it to one of these, my brethren. But then there's the crowd of the goats. And he says, depart from me. And they say, well, wait a minute. When did we see you hungry and we didn't feed you? When did we see you naked and didn't give you clothes? When did we see you? And Jesus said, you didn't do it to one of the least. You see the difference? These ones are saying, oh, we're good people. We deserve to be in heaven. And what's the final story here? Oh, we're going to come to that. Hold off on the final story for those two groups. But in this broad way, you see, it accommodates those who think they deserve heaven. Maybe I'm talking to you this evening. You think you're a pretty good person. You think, well, I'm not as bad as my neighbor. I'm not as bad as the next guy. I think I've got a shot at it. Dear friend, if you're not in the narrow way, if you're not clinging to Jesus, if you're not coming to him with repentance and faith as I described it, as the Bible describes it, you're in the broad way. Oh yeah, it'll fit you. It fits all kind of religious people. People who think they're better than others. They're all in there. It's a broad way. They say to Jesus, we ate and drank in your presence. We did miracles in your name. And Jesus says, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Religious people can be in the broad way. Many of them are. But the narrow way. See, this narrow way that starts with faith in Jesus, starts with turning away from sin, starts with clinging to him as the only way, entering through him alone. What about those who are in this way? Well, you see, the gate leads to the way. It's a narrow way. It's a constricted way. The word could be translated compressed. Almost those who are under tribulation in this way. Well, all right, the way does lead to some compression because, you see, in this way, you can't do anything you want. It's not like that computer game. You can do anything you want. No. We want to do what God wants. You see, in a way, then, that's what we want, too, because we know that's best. But it's not what your flesh wants. It's not what sin cries to you or even the devil entices you to do. It's life lived, John 10:27, my sheep, okay, it's the way of the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. There's a special relationship. They're in the way. They're coming through the gate. And they follow me. That's the way. It's a narrow way. It's not whatever you want. It's what Jesus wants. It's not my will, but his will. I am bought with a price. I am not my own. I want to glorify, not myself, God in my body. Like blind Bartimaeus. We heard of him recently. What about this blind man? You know how he was there? We heard of this just recently. Pastor Smith preached about him. And this blind man, Bartimaeus, he was there outside of Jericho. And he hears that Jesus is coming by. And he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus did and healed him. What happened next? You see, he wasn't just healed from his blindness. He was saved from his sin. He entered that narrow gate, entered the narrow. And it says, and let me quote from Mark's Gospel, Mark 10:52, and immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. He's on the way, you see. He entered the gate. Now he's on the way. What's the way? Following Jesus. The way of obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John says, and he was there when, in fact, recorded those words of Jesus. John says, 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Oh, that's narrow. Forget about it. Wait a minute. Let me finish. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. Now, that's a figure of speech that the Bible uses sometimes. And it's where there's something put in a negative way, but really the positive truth is conveyed. And so if his commandments are not burdensome, what's the positive truth conveyed? His commandments are delightful. So much the contrary of being burdensome. They're actually delightful. They're good for us. It's good to walk in God's ways. And so, yes, it's a narrow way. Yes, it's a way of obedience. It's a way that, in a sense, is fenced in by the commandments of God. But you know, dear brethren, isn't that not good for you? Isn't that not the best way? The Bible tells us the way of the transgressor, the one who breaks God's commandments, is hard. Just think about it. Think about those who live a life of sin. It's a life of misery. Headaches, heartaches, broken relationships, hatred, malice, envy. Not a pretty picture. The narrow way is delightful. You know, some people accuse us and say, oh, you Christians are so narrow-minded. Well, okay, yeah, because we want to keep God's commandments. If that's narrow, so be it. But we're happy with that. We're happy with that because God's way is best. What does Jesus say about this way that sometimes leads to the enmity and hatred of the world? Jesus, turn back in Matthew's record of Jesus' sermon, Matthew chapter 5. We considered this. It's been a couple years about now. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Oh, I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want the world to hate me. I want the world to love me. Well, yeah. You like to be hated? Something wrong with you. We love to be loved. But brothers and sisters, you know, if the world loves you, you're in trouble. They didn't love Jesus. They crucified him. And when they do this, when they throw all manner of insults and evil against you falsely on account of Jesus, you're blessed. Rejoice and be glad. It's a blessed way. And ultimately, it's a happy way. And let's consider in the next place. Okay, so there are two ways. The broad way, do whatever you like. The same as the broad gate. The narrow way, it's constricted by God's word, God's commandments. But that's for our best. That's for our good. It's delightful. But then let's consider the two groups of people on this way. Now, the broad way, we find there in Matthew chapter 7, many there are who enter by the broad gate and are walking in the broad way. Now, the many, they just go along. They don't want to change. Remember, they were born there. John Blanchard says in his book, Right with God, that once he talked to two men on the beach, and he was sharing the gospel with them, and they had all kinds of questions. Well, what about this? And what about that? And maybe objections about, well, what about this in the Bible? And finally, after answering a number of their questions, he asked them this question. If I answered all your questions to your satisfaction, would you believe in Jesus? They looked at each other. They looked at him. They said, no. You see, the problem wasn't their questions. The problem was their sin that they did not want to let go of. If that's your problem, dear friend, you have a problem. But you have to recognize what that's going to lead to. And ultimately, I would challenge you and say, your sin is your problem because it's really going to make you miserable. The devil, you see, dangles this bait on a hook. He says, look at this lovely worm. But there's a hook. You may like the worm, but don't forget the hook. It's going to make you miserable. See, these people in the broad way, this mass of people, this multitude are described in Ephesians chapter 2. Because again, they're born that way. They come into the world this way. This is the way of the multitude. This is the way of everybody, unless by God's grace, they find the narrow road. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we read, and you were dead, speaking to believers, it's talking about their past. So we acknowledge this is true of us. This was true of us. We were this, but you see, everybody who's not a Christian, this is still true of them. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's just another way of saying disobedient sons. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, okay, again, by birth, this is what you get, by nature, children of wrath, even as the rest. That's a broad road. That's a broad way, the broad gate, and the people that are on that broad gate. You might not like the description. You might say, no, I'm a nice guy. I'm not a disobedient guy. I was a good kid. Always. There's only one kid that was good always. That was Jesus, who grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's not you. The broad way. Now, how many? Let me pause here and say this broad way includes religious people. But sadly, how many in our day have been deceived by modern evangelism into thinking that they're in the narrow way when really they're still in the broad way? And you see, some people have taken a crowbar or a bulldozer and attacked that narrow way and tried to push the posts wider open. And they have said, well, no, all you have to do is accept Jesus. As many as received him, their children, just receive Jesus. Walk down the aisle, come forward and receive Jesus, and you'll be saved. Never doubt it. I grew up in a church that was like that. And I received Jesus age 7. I wasn't saved. I was a little pagan member of the church who had all voting privileges, 7 years old. Could vote in a church meeting. I wasn't saved. I was a little baptized heathen. Easy believism has deceived multitude. Sign a decision card. I was in college. We had an evangelist come, and they had decision cards, and I won't even tell you the stories. They weren't saved. Signed a decision. We had one guy checked every box on that decision card. We visited him, my roommate and I, and he didn't want anything to do with us. Still on the Broadway. And so, dear friend, if you maybe you made a decision, maybe you grew up in a church, maybe you already have read the Bible cover to cover. But you see, if you don't turn from the Broadway, if you don't put your confidence in Jesus alone, if you don't then end up walking in the narrow way, that's not a way, that's not to earn salvation, but it's because you're in the gate, you're going to walk in the way. And if you're not walking in the way, you didn't go in the gate. How many have been deceived? Oh, do not be deceived. But come to Jesus, and he'll change you. And he'll make you new so that you want to walk in his ways. But how about then the narrow gate? There's a few people here. Jesus said, going back to Matthew chapter 7, few there are that find it. It's not something that you just automatically get to. You have to find it. Look at the world around you. Now, Christians are in the vast minority. We heard of Tunisia, where there were maybe 20,000 so-called Christians and only five churches where the gospel was being preached, at least that were had an internet presence. Here in this country. Now, when I was younger, this country was called a Christian country. This is a Christian country. I haven't heard that so much anymore. As well that we don't hear that because it's not a Christian country. Look around you. We still have on our money in God we trust. Do you think that people who print our money trust in God? This country is on the Broadway. Anything goes. Do what you want. We're open and affirming. We affirm everybody except Christians. But thankfully, there's a remnant. Thankfully, we're here. Thankfully, there are the people of God. The few. It's a narrow way. Few, Jesus said, there are that find it. Just like Lydia, we read of Wednesday night, if you were here at the prayer meeting, God opened Lydia's heart to believe the things spoken by Paul. Well, God opened your heart if you're a Christian here tonight. God did it for you. God's still doing it. That's his business. He saves. Of course, he condemns. Of course, he judges. But you know, he delights in mercy. He delights not in the death of the wicked, but they turn from their wicked way and live. There are still the remnant. There are still the few. There are still the Lydias. God opens their heart to respond to the things spoken from his word. Remember that question? I mentioned it earlier, Luke 13:23. Are there few that are saved? And I don't know what prompted that question there in Luke's gospel when this man comes to Jesus and perhaps he's thinking about the multitude who are mad at Jesus, the Pharisees, the scribes, and so on. And he's saying, well, here are the disciples. Are there really just a few who are being saved? Now, you may want to turn there, Luke chapter 13. I want you to see this, in fact, with your own eyeballs. I like to feast my eyeballs on the Word of God. In Luke chapter 13, here's Jesus' response. Verse 23, someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, you strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And he goes on from there. But you see what he does? He turns this philosophical, general question. Are there just a few who are being saved? Let's discuss this, Jesus. And Jesus turns it from this intellectual discussion to a personal matter. Maybe you're wondering, young people, well, you know, if I'm a Christian, then I'm not going to be on the in crowd. If I become a Christian, then I'm going to be maybe left out by my buddies in high school or school, and I won't be invited to their house anymore, and I'm going to miss out on all this stuff. Are there few that are being saved? Well, Jesus turns it and makes it personal. You strive to enter the narrow door. Don't worry about them. If they go to hell, of course you don't want them to. You care about them, but you can't save them. Don't let them. Dear young people, you know, my big idol, when I was a high schooler, I wanted to be popular. God didn't let me be popular in his mercy. Don't let them, whoever they are, keep you from the narrow door. It's between you and God. It's your soul. You get to the last day, you can't blame them for your judgment. You heard the gospel and you rejected it. No. You heard the gospel and you said, I want to be in that narrow door. I don't care about them. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The few. Make sure, dear young people, old people, whoever you are, you're with them who go in the narrow gate today. But then in the last place, we have two destinations. Looking back at Matthew 7, the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And you see, this is why this sermon is so vital for each of you. Where are you? Where are you going? Before you get on a plane, usually the stewardess says, check your ticket, make sure this plane's going to Miami. If you're going to Seattle, you're on the wrong plane. You're going to Manila? You're really on the wrong plane. Check your ticket. I remember when Carol and I were new in the Philippines, we went downtown on a jeepney, and that's a minibus. If you can look up a jeepney, you Google that and you'll see what it is. And, you know, the smoke belching diesel fumes, it's quite a ride. You get on the jeepney, and we rode about an hour, got down to Manila, and so we looked around. We had some things we needed to do down in Manila. And then we got on the jeepney to go back. And so we saw a jeepney that had on the signboard, Cubao. Now that was where we wanted to go. So we got on this jeepney bound for Cubao. The only thing is, we got on going the wrong way. It was going the opposite direction because, you see, Cubao was where it came from. And it was going to go all the way down here and turn around before it went back to Cubao. Well, you see, you want to make sure that you're heading the direction you think you're heading in. We thought we were going the right way. We were going the wrong way. And how many people think they're going the right way, but they're going the wrong way? And so the destination, you see, this broad way looks right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Check. Make sure. Have you entered the narrow gate? Have you come to Jesus? There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You have to get to the right door. You have to come to Jesus. And you have to come to him by faith. And you have to come to him turning from the broad way that you were born in. And reject it. Come to Jesus. Because that broad way that you're born on, and the way that the multitude is going, the way that your buddies, the way that, you know, the crowd is in, the way that the in crowd is in, damnation. The way leads to destruction. This is where I was referring to what Jesus said at the end of that picture of the great white throne. He said, and these will go away. Those goats that thought they were okay, but they really weren't. These will go away into eternal punishment. And the righteous into eternal life. Eternal punishment doesn't mean annihilation. It means being punished eternally. That's not a pretty picture. And you know, when you think about it, and preachers preach about it. Robert Murray McShane asked a friend, what did you preach about? He said, about hell. He said, did you preach it with tears? Because you see the very thought that any of you, as I look on your faces, because you're people that I've come to know and love, and the very thought of any of you, no preacher's going to break down if he dwells on that. Destruction. Eternal punishment. I don't want you to be there. And that's why we preach like we do. If we could reach out and grab you and take you in that style, that turnstile, we would do it, but we can't do it. You have to go there yourself. Come to me, Jesus said. Enter the narrow door. Do it tonight. Don't put it off. You don't know how many days you got numbered. The wide way leads to destruction, but the narrow gate leads to life. Verse 14, the gate is small, the way is narrow that leads to life. You remember in Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, where was Christian born? He was born in the city of destruction. He didn't have to go there. He didn't have to look for it. He was born there. He was born in the Broadway. You were born there. Do you know what? He heard the gospel. He heard from evangelists. He heard of the way of life. And he put his fingers in his ears and he said, life, life, eternal life. And he went out looking for that way. And he found the way. It was the way of the cross, the way of Jesus. Put your fingers in your ears. Don't listen to the multitudes. Don't listen to the masses. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his word. Life, life, eternal life. Not the plastic life of the rich and famous. You know, Christian went through this town in Pilgrim's Progress named Vanity Fair. That's all around us. And it advertises and it pushes on us this plastic life. And it says, oh, this is life, you know. And it, again, news sites, they put up in there. And I don't know why this is news. So-and-so's billion-dollar mansion. That's not my house. Why do I care what her house is like? You know, who cares? So-and-so's yacht. Well, I don't have a yacht. Why do I care what his yacht is like? Why is that there? To make you envious. Do not envy the wicked. Because where are they going? Destruction. Don't envy them. Pity them. But look here. We got a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. Ah, that's an eternal dwelling place, not a temporary dwelling place. I'll take that one. Think of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, you got Elon Musk or Bill Gates or whoever is the richest man in the world these days. And you say, oh man, if I was him, what would I do? You wouldn't know what to do. But then you got Lazarus. Here's this poor beggar. I've used this picture before, so pardon me, but it's very appropriate here. See, the rich man's in the Broadway. He's got everything he wants. Old Lazarus, he was in the narrow way. Which one would you rather be today? That rich man tormented in the flames? Or Lazarus there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God? You know which one you'd rather be today. Don't envy the rich guy today. Now, you may be rich. You may have all you need. And that's not a sin. But where's your heart? Where's your heart? And so as we wrap this up, we've seen two gates, and the one, that narrow gate, is Jesus. We've seen two ways, the broad way, do what you want. The narrow way is God's commandments. We've seen two groups of people, the remnant, the few. I want to be in that number. And we've seen two destinations, damnation, destruction, or life. And so choose life that you would live as we wrap up this evening. There are only two ways. Now, it's not three ways, not a dozen ways. You know, the dodo bird in Alice in Wonderland. I don't know if you ever read Alice in Wonderland. Interesting read. But the dodo bird says when he judges the caucus race, everybody has won and all must have prizes. That's not the way it works. There's only one way that has the prize. Run in such a way that you may win, Paul says. Enter the narrow gate. That's the only one that has life. There's only two ways. It's the narrow way. I am the way, Jesus said. No other way. Second thing is, the broad way is the way of the crowd. God said to Moses, Exodus 23:2, you shall not follow a multitude in doing evil. The way of the crowd, you see, is dangerous. The broad way, the way of the multitude, is death. And so strive to enter the narrow door. That doesn't mean you're saved by your striving. Oh, I'm going to do my best, because it's Jesus. It's what he did, not what you do. We heard that this morning. But here's the question. And I want to leave this question with you as we close this evening. Each one individually, because you're people and you have to enter by for yourself. Will you have Jesus tonight? Some of you already have him. Praise God. And you know that the narrow way is the best way. But some of you, you're still in the broad way. Do you really want destruction? Do you really want eternal punishment? We have Jesus. Well, I don't know. What don't you know? You got before you life and destruction. Jesus and the way of the world, whichever way, any other way. Choose life and live. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we have this gauntlet laid down by our Lord Jesus to choose life and live. To enter the narrow gate, to turn away from the broad gate, the wide gate, the gate of the multitude. And we plead with you that you would, by your Spirit, take this word home to hearts. That everyone who thirsts would come, buy and eat, without money, without cost, free grace given, not worked for or earned. That the wicked would forsake their way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and turn to the Lord, who will abundantly pardon. Oh Lord, do that great work which only you can do. Take these words of our Savior preached 2,000 years ago on that mountainside and take them home to hearts today, December 18, 2022. Nothing is too difficult for you. You made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. You said, let there be light, and there was light. Let your light shine into dark human hearts tonight. And to you be all the praise and glory. Through Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen.